Welcome everyone. As Samantha said, so good to see everyone here this morning, and really cool to hear from Mike and Kelly this morning. As Samantha said, they're the leaders of our worship team and just awesome people, and they're going to share a bit more about themselves to you all, so you can get to know them a bit in a minute. But as always, we like to start with some quick fire questions, so we're going to get straight into that this morning. So Kelly, you can start us off with this one. What was a nickname of yours growing up?
Hopper.
Hopper.
Yeah,
Hopper. Do you want to explain?
If I get it right, Dad can correct me. But it was, I think it was the fact that I had a T-shirt that said, I think I was about two or three maybe, and it was a T-shirt that said, I am knee-high to a grasshopper. And I never wanted to take it off, and Mum would have to continually wash it because that's all I wanted to wear. And is that right, Dad? I think that's yeah, that's where it came from. And Dad actually rarely calls me my name. He's always calls me Hopper or Hops. Cool. Or even one of my sisters too. So it's still being used.
Can we call you Hopper from now on? Okay. And Mike?
I never had any nicknames that I can remember or know about. All it is, people now call me Mikey.
Oh. And Kiko.
Oh, yeah, I take lots of photos, you see, so, but Mikey, and that's come from my sister-in-law's actually all call me that now, Mikey, don't know where, that's where it
cool.
goes from.
Hopper and Mikey. So, what is a hidden talent of yours?
I don't really have many hidden talents that people don't know about. Now, here's a random one. I like building Lego sets from you know, making sure it's on the instructions.
Yeah.
I'm an instructions guy, you see. I've got to have the instructions. So I've actually been rebuilding lots of Peyton's Lego sets at the moment. We're talking Lego friends, like the little dog and bunny sets, if anyone knows what I'm talking about. See, when you've got a daughter, that's what we've got. So there you go.
Awesome. And Kelly?
Yeah, bless, his whole office is literally little girl Lego. That's the love of a father. I don't know. I love to paint.
Cool.
And I can crochet, but I don't anymore, but I can. Yeah.
Cool. Very good. What would you say a guilty pleasure of yours might be?
Eating chocolate or playing a stupid Boom Beach game on my phone. There we go. That's my downtime. If you want to know what to get me, chocolate. There we go. Done.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, what do I say?
Say it.
It's going to reveal a lot, I feel. And do I want it revealed? No. In my sense of humour, yeah, maybe not. well, one thing is that I love looking at properties online. I have a bit of an obsession with constantly looking at properties online. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's an inner real estate agent in me. Yeah, and the other one is slightly addicted to Adam Sandler.
What's your favourite Adam Sandler movie?
Oh, no. No, because that's even more worse.
Okay. Yeah. We'll move on.
Not in an attraction way, in a sense of humour, yeah.
Cool. What is one thing that really grinds your gears?
When people buy me gifts, it's horrible. Oh. It's just terrible. No, I'm joking. actually, do you know what it is? It's you are not allowed to do this because I will punch you. It's T-tail flicks.
Ooh.
If someone T-tails flicks, oh man, that gets me from 0 to 100.
Ooh.
And I can't, move on from a punch in the arm or something like that. That's my brother, I think, where that comes from.
I actually can't think of anything, so please feel to try whatever you want to and see if it grinds or not.
It's true.
Yeah. I don't know. But one day I'll find something and I'll get annoyed at you.
We'll work on you, mate.
Yeah.
And finally, we love to be a bit random here. If you could be any type of animal, what would it be and why?
Well, this is a very interesting question because I've never thought about this before. I haven't really thought about being an animal. It's not something that's... So we Googled this to try and understand how you're supposed to answer a question like this. So guess what? We found this guy talking about, if they ask us in an interview, if you think this is a stupid question, you've got an attitude problem. That's what the guy said. So I was like, I don't know how to answer this question. But there's some very, you know, if you're going for a job interview, it's a very good... very important question, and you've got to make sure you answer this correctly, whether you're an eagle or a lion or anything. I'll just say I would be an axolotl. because I had no idea what this was until my daughter was playing it on Minecraft. And so axolotl is this little fish. You can apparently buy them. I've never seen one in real life. And there we go. I'm pretty strange, so I'll be an axolotl.
Nice.
And it was me that had the issue with this question. I was like, this is a legit question. Like, they actually ask these at interviews, in real proper job interviews. Anyway, I was like, okay, what will I be? I'll be a dolphin.
Nice.
Because it brings joy and harmony.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very good. You always learn a lot about people with those little quick-fire questions. Yeah. But some of us here probably know a little bit about you, some maybe not. So I wonder if you could just share like a couple of facts about yourself so everyone can kind of get a sense of who you are.
Right. 10 minutes on the clock. very quick. So I was born in Auckland. I am one of a family of five. So I've got my parents, an older brother and older sister. I am the youngest. So to all of the youngest out there, I know what it's like. I'm the youngest. I was born in Auckland. As a family, we moved down to Lower Hutt. My father became a pastor when I was about 3 years old. And so then we moved up to Gisborne, and I lived there, I think we were about 7 years or something like that. And then my dad was pastoring, mum and dad were pastoring a church there. And then we moved over to Whakatane. And so I was here for... I think it was, about 16 years. So through my teenage years, and then we actually left Whakatane. We got married in 2002 to my beautiful wife. And that was, we then left Whakatane in 2006. I know I'm giving you lots of dates, but just giving you like an overview. I never went to school in my life. I never spent one day at school. I was homeschooled my entire life. So... hence the reason I'm an axolotl, but no. So that's something. Homeschooled my whole life. I loved it. I never had an issue with it. So I know some people do not like it, and some people do. I was one of the ones that I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
And then we were in Whakatane 4 years. We were married, and then we decided, let's do something. We could stay here, but let's go and explore. And I'd always wanted to study music. And Callie wanted to as well. So we ended up moving to Sydney, Australia, and we lived there for 3.5 years. We did studied at the C3 Creative Arts College. Over there I did guitar, and Callie did worship leading. And so that was an awesome learning experience. You know, we both had to study full-time and basically work full-time. So, you know, it was 8-day weeks. Somehow we managed to fit it in. But, you know, you're working nights, you're doing things after. And so that there was a really a great learning experience and a great part of growing. You know, lots of tough times, and that's part of life. If everything's too smooth, often you don't realize, you don't grow, because things are just way too easy. So that was put us in a bit of a fire and pressure. Learned a lot, and then from that point we were asked to go to London, and so we went to help out a new C3 London church plant, and so that had been going nearly a year when we got there, and so we actually came into a really interesting circumstance in the church at that time, through to no one's fault that was still there. The fault was at the people who had just left. But anyway, so we came into that, and for 10 years we were part of C3 London. Worked full-time on the side, you know, if you like that terminology. Worked full-time on the side, as well as helped. We led the worship team there. We're assistant leaders of the church. While we're in London, our beautiful daughter Peyton was born. And so grew up, and we left London in 2020. There we go. So just over 2 years ago, and we've been back in Whakatane. So that's a... quick overview.
Awesome. And how about you, Kelly? Maybe just real quick.
Yeah, I'll just do the first part. Yes, so same thing, born in Auckland, but grew up in Opotiki till I was 15. And then we moved to Whakatane. And I am the oldest of five. And they let me know that. I love my family. We have lots of laughs. They're very naughty and very funny. But yeah, we have a good giggle, and I think that's really important. My mum is European, my dad is Samoan, which is something that we only found out in the last sort of 5 years, which has been an amazing journey through in finding out my dad's dad. So it's a bit emotional saying that. I wasn't expecting that. But yeah, so to find that identity in our story has been pretty cool, eh, Dad? So yeah.
Cool. Awesome. That's really cool. You know, one thing I love about church, and I share it quite often, is just the diversity, and even learning a little bit about Mike and Kelly and their story, it just makes church really rich, how there's this wide range of people that are kind of meshed together in Christ. And I'm just wondering if you could both share about how you started your journey of faith, or how you came to faith in Christ, and what that looked like for both of you.
Probably similar, both very young. I remember sitting on a couch with my mum, and I was probably 5 years old, and her saying, "Do you want to ask Jesus into your heart?" And I was like, "Yep." And that was it. Oh. Never looked back. Had moments of, figuring who I was in God and also in myself, you know, but have never looked back.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, yeah, very similar for me. And, you know, growing up in a house where your dad's a pastor, being a PK, pastor's kid, has its own, unique things. I actually loved it. Some pastor kids have a very bad experience, and I'm very thankful that my experience was amazing. And so I grew up, you know about God, but it's that thing of, when do you start to know God? You know, you can know about something, but you don't know. And all I can say, it's just a journey of slowly, that just comes to life as things go. And I was baptized when I was 7, I think. And that's where I started speaking in tongues and having the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings that to life. Mm. Now, it's such a gift when we talk about the gift of the Spirit. That is such a huge gift. Mm. And so I've gone times through life where you don't necessarily question who... I've never questioned who God is, but I've questioned who I am in God. Mm. And so even as a teenager, you go to youth events and you sort of go to the front every time because you want to keep, give my heart to the Lord again. It's like, don't you have it? It's like, yeah, God already had it, but I didn't. I was the one who was questioning. So God already had me, but did I have enough trust to know that God had me? Mm. And that was a learning and growing experience. And I think no one in the world, all it is every single day do we learn something new about God. And that actually should be our goal. Mm. It's do we know God a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And you can't be in someone's, we've been married 20 years this year. And it's you learn and grow in a marriage. You grow and you just little bit, little bit, little bit, you know more about people. And that's the same, our Heavenly Father. Mm. Do we know who God is, and do we let Him impact our lives each day?
Awesome. That's really powerful. And so you guys obviously both started your journey quite young, and you've been on that journey for a while. I'm just wondering if you could both share maybe if there's been a time in your life where God's really shown up in a big way, and maybe share that with us.
There's been many stages growing up and things like that where God has shown up. But I'm going to go with probably the moment I saw Mike for the first time. And as I was 15 years old, which is just crazy, walked into his church where his parents were the pastors, and God told me I was going to marry him. I was like, God, he's the wrong colour. but, oh my goodness, what that did was, it was just crazy that God said that, and it happened. And, I think Mike has been that for me, awesome, that God gave me him. Cool. Yeah, because I have a rebellious spirit. I'm a rat bag. I'm naughty, and he is the calm to my storm. The, keeps me grounded, keeps me, level-headed. He's patient, and so I know that I wouldn't have done half the things that we've done, been to one-tenth of the places we've been to, if God hadn't have given me Mike. Yeah, so we're a good team.
Awesome. And Mike?
It's the same. It's No, but the thing is, when you talk about in life, I wouldn't have gone to any places without Kelly. Like this is the thing: is you're a team, and I'd say for those that are looking for a husband or wife, it's actually a team that you're building. And those that are married, you're thinking, okay, we're a team together. You do so much of who you are also is, and you know, you're not completely wrapped up in the other person's identity. You've got to have your own identity, but you also build things. So I'd say the same as that. There's no way I'd ever have done the things and dreams that were in my heart if it wasn't for us together. Mm. Like those dreams were fulfilled together. And I'd just say that, you know, it's going back to knowing who God is. But, you know, there were times where I struggled with quite a bit of depression and just feeling, you know, you're not worthy and you're not worth it. And I think feeling that whole thing of worth is it's a huge thing. All of us, we're human beings. We want to feel worth and we want to feel worthy of something. And so often people do stupid things because they want to get, you know, respect or worth-ship from someone else. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you don't have to do that. We are who we are in God. Yeah. We don't need that. But I would say through those times of depression, I suppose, what really helped me is you can take God's word. It's a tool. You can take prayer. It's a tool. You've got all of these things. You can take worship. It's a tool. You can leave the tool in the garage, shut the shed down, and say, I can never do anything. Or else you can get them out and start using them. And I think I learned, God showed up as he gave me a way to use the tools, but I still had to jump in and use them.
Yeah.
I still had to go, here's the Bible, here's some verses. This is what God says about me. And I start memorizing them, and I start speaking them over my life. And I keep saying them, and I keep talking about them. And that way, I can use the tools to actually, that's God's word back to me. Mm. So that's how, one way that God really showed up, he gave me the way to, to actually use those tools.
Awesome. Really cool. And you've kind of touched on already, Mike, that our faith is a journey. It's like we never reach an end point, but we're constantly growing and we learn lessons across the years, sometimes tough lessons. I'm just wondering if there's something that you've learnt along the way in your faith journey that you wish you knew a bit earlier in your journey.
I'm just going to say what I just said. That's what I learned. No, honestly, and I'm just going to rephrase that, because for me that is actually the biggest thing. I've learned that who I am in God, and I don't need to get this, don't get this the wrong way, I don't need to care about anyone else. I need to care about everyone else, but I don't need to care what people say, because I know what God says about me. And so once I know what God says about me, then I can love everyone around me. Mm-hmm. If I'm spending all my time trying to understand who I am, you know, you don't have time to love others, because all you do is trying to deal with yourself. Mm-hmm. It's one of these, really, the moment you can get ourselves up to God, and that's what I've learned.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Just your identity. Don't let other people's words, other people's thoughts of how you should be, what you should do, whatever. Just go straight to the Father, and fixate on how he wants you to be, what he wants you to do. There'll always be a hater. There'll always be someone that doesn't want to speak kindly of you or to you or whatever. But you just cannot listen.
Mm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, that's really great. And so we often see you guys leading us in worship, and obviously as part of the worship team here, and it's just really clear that's something you're really passionate about. And I wondered if you could both just give us a bit of insight into why you're so passionate about worship.
Worship, like, for me, it's like an ocean that just washes through everything. It takes away everything, and it reminds you just how much God loves you. Mm. Obviously, it's an emotional topic because it does mean everything.
Mm.
And I've had times in my life where that's the only thing, you know, same in depression, that have got you through.
Mm.
And so, It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the power of us engaging in something bigger than ourselves, looking to the cross, looking to what Jesus did for us. Man, God loves to hear our voice.
Yeah.
And if that's something you struggle with, just bin it. Let him hear your voice. He loves to hear you sing. He loves to hear you cry. It doesn't matter if you hit bung notes. Doesn't matter if you can't sing in tune. That's not the point. Let your heart sing out to him. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And worship's not just on the stage. So I know there's a huge other, you know, a lot else that we can talk about when it comes to worship, but we're just talking about this specifically. It's like, how can we not worship? This is what I'm passionate about. It's like, how can we not worship?
Mm.
You know, you take the first song, Anything Is Possible. Bang, wow, that's true. Do we believe that or do we not? Mm. And worship songs often can, if we stop and think about them, it questions what we believe. Mm. We can sing something pretty easily, but do we believe that?
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Wow. Like, isn't that one statement just awesome? Like, he is our living hope. We've got nothing else in this world that is our hope for life. Jesus is our living hope. So when, for me, we have this privilege to be able to play, there's gifts, but then it's all from the heart. We don't, music isn't heard, it's felt. And so when, I'm going like this between stage and that, there's no difference, but when I'm listening rather than playing, that's the thing is, like, do you feel the Holy Spirit? And our mind can write off anything. Mm. Okay, let me explain this here. This is what I'm passionate about, is we can make excuses to not do anything in that we want in life. And there's a verse in Psalms 5, verse 7, and it's probably been one of my foundations for worship. It is, because of your unfailing love, first part, unfailing love. It's like, wow, God's love will never fail. I can enter his house and I will worship. That there is the foundation for me, because of who God is, I can do this and I will do this. There's lots of things in life we can do, but we don't do. There's lots of things that we, you know, that those two things, just because we can lift our hands, doesn't mean I will. Oh no, I'm going to have an excuse about that. I don't really like this song. Hold on, that drum beat's a little bit off. Oh, it's like, we can make an excuse. Oh, that person next to me, put their arms down. They didn't put any, you know. we can make excuses. I don't like this. Oh, this is not really my style. This is not what I'm doing. And actually, worship is all about sacrifice.
Mm.
And unfortunately, there's lots we have to sacrifice when it comes to worship. Sometimes we have to sacrifice our own personal things that we like to give glory to God. It's like, there's so many. When it comes to music, it's a very contentious topic because everyone's got a different opinion. If we all jumped in the car and put on, not the radio, but put on a, you know, MP3 Spotify list, we're all going to listen to something different. And that's awesome. That's human nature. But then we come together and we sort of have to choose one thing to play together. It's like, wow, you know, 50% aren't going to like this, 30% are going to be on the fence, 10%, you know. But the point is, we sacrifice our personal things to worship God and to sing out praise to him. Mm. And that's why I'm so passionate. Sorry if you can hear it in my voice. And I'm talking too far. But went to a football game in, it was Everton versus West Ham in North London a few years ago. And I was standing there, I was with my uncle and my brother, and I looked around, and these football fans, you know, hardcore British football fans, Everton fans, they're going for it. They are standing there literally like this. You know, they're doing this, they're yelling out, they're singing, they're jumping around. You know, there's a few beers involved as well. but they are, the passion within them about their team and who their team is. And I looked around, and I was like, don't anyone ever give me an excuse again that people aren't passionate or that people are reserved. If we're in the right place, we'll be passionate. Mm. And so I it's not about that, but it does release something within you because God created us to do that. God created us to worship, and they are worshiping those football players. We get to worship the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the creator of the universe, the God of the heavens, He is everything. He's who saved us. Mm. Sorry for my
answer. No, that's awesome. So good. So great. And so because I wanted to get facts right, I actually asked you guys before this how long you'd been involved with worship teams. And so Mike and Kelly together have 56 years of being on worship teams. So, let's give that a clap. And obviously, like a lot of experience there, and you've played at different churches and different places across the world. But something I really catch from you guys is it still seems really fresh, like you haven't become familiar. There's that passion still there. And I'm just wondering how you actually keep that fire stoked and you keep passionate when you've been involved kind of leading in this context for such a long time.
Devotion, your word, worshipping in the private, and also like, getting to lead the body of Christ is such an honour and it's such a privilege. And I think to cherish the gift that God gives you isn't just that it's not individual, it's corporate. And so you cherish the body of Christ. You cherish their stories. You cherish their journeys. You cherish who they are as individuals. And just love the church. If you have that love, I think that's the best thing, isn't it? We've talked around at churches all around Europe, and one thing we would always say to the musos or worship leaders we would work with was, you have to love your church. You have to love the body of Christ. You cannot get up here and lead them with judgment in your heart, judgment in your eyes. That is not your place. Your place is to create a safe atmosphere for them to be able to lead them towards Christ, a place for them to meet Him. And, I think that's, to have that love, I think has been the thing for me that's carried me through. And, getting to know everyone as well, I think that's so important. There can be a celebrityness that can happen with worship teams, worship leaders, and we've always tried to go against that sort of flow. So whenever we did big conferences and things like that, when we were off that stage, we were out talking to people, hearing their story, and actually it makes you a way better worship leader because you are prophesying into that place. So when you sing and you get up here, you're like, oh man, I just heard something that was really hard. Man, that person needs peace. Right, we are going there today. Peace is where we're going, where we're aiming. God's peace to flood this place. So, yeah, the body of Christ. Cool. That keeps the passion alive.
Awesome.
And it's every single note, musical note. When we're not playing music, it's ministry. And that's a really big difference. It's, as those musical notes come out, you know, there's arrows of prophecy, there's arrows. It's that you play out of a place. You don't play music. We don't play a chord chart or, anything. It's not that. It is playing ministry to people. And for me, it's the thing that really keeps me passionate is understanding the privilege. Yeah. Is what a privilege. What a privilege to be able to play and lead people, together. We're all in this together. And when I was privileged, 2010, so with the building where I worked in London, they were having a big grand opening. And so it's like, oh, yeah, no, there's a special guest coming to open the building. And it's like, oh, yeah. But then you started to see what went in behind the scenes for this opening to happen. And you're like, oh, what's this? But here's a short story. The Queen, Her Late Majesty, Queen Elizabeth II, she was opening the building for us. And because she was going to be on site, you should have seen the preparation. No one complained about it because what a privilege, the Queen's coming. People did everything. You know, everything's clean, spotless. There's like sniffer dogs going through the whole building. You know, there's the guys walking around with these white gloves, checking every door handle for like bomb or, residue and things like this. They're literally the whole place because Her Majesty is going to be in the building. And I was privileged to be a person, you know, this group that could shake her hand. So, you know, what a privilege, get to shake the Queen's hand. And it was this thing of like, you know, what you don't say and what you do and don't do. But all of this, none of us minded, because what a privilege. And every time we get to worship, we come into God's presence for the King of all kings. You know, I know, not disrespectfully, but forget about the Queen or any earthly celebrities. What a privilege, you know. What a privilege. We get to worship God. If people can go to all of this effort for on earth, what are we doing to worship our, you know, the King of all kings? He's the Lord. And that, to me, is what keeps me passionate, is the privilege. It's just a huge foundation. Yeah. Just
now, that's awesome, guys. And, yeah, really challenging just to remember who we're actually worshipping. Yeah. Man, so powerful. And we're just going to change tacks and got a couple of questions. So, as you guys know, we've been in a series called Sent, and it's all about how Jesus saves us and he restores us, but he doesn't want to just keep it to ourselves. He actually sends us on a mission to make a difference in the world. And I'm just wondering, like, if you guys have any thoughts about what it means to live a life on mission.
I think something that has been a big thing for us was to always have the door open. Not in an unsettled kind of way, like I'm not going to commit. In a, all right, I'm going to serve with everything that I've got where I am, and the door is open, God, for wherever you want to lead us. And we've kind of always had that policy to have the door open and not control the destiny, but to serve with everything we've got. And I just think sometimes taking that step out on the platform can be a bit scary to do that, to go, oh, but I don't know what it's going to look like, or can I afford this, or am I even good enough to do that? Man, that thought comes through your head all the time. How can we do this? Like, you know, but yeah, I think keep the door open. Allow God to show you just what he thinks you can do. And it's pretty awesome. You know, when we left, I was such a family girl. Leaving my family was just like the worst thing I could possibly imagine. Even just going to Australia, I was just like, no, I'm going to miss my family. We got us there. God totally has tricked me the whole way. That is the other side of this. If you have an open door, he tricks you. So he gets you to do these little steps, and then he's like, oh, just one more. So got us to Australia, and then we were asked in our second year of music studies, would you guys come and music direct in London? I was like, no way. Too far away. No, thank you, Lord. Nope, that door was not open. And then again, he asked us at the end of our third year, would you guys come and music direct in London? And then we were just like, wow, maybe we should. And it was a massive decision. And there are sacrifices involved, absolutely. You do, there are sacrifices. But yeah, I think they are, it's worth it. Mm. It's totally worth it, getting to see all that God has got for us individually, but as a body of Christ.
And it's, you know, there is, we've got to think that we're sent into this world by the fact of being born. We're here, right? God sent us into this world, and every part of our life is, we're on mission in what we do. And I worked in the corporate area, you know, work in London for 10 years, and oh, it's a strange environment, such a strange environment. You know, money rules left, right, and center. There is nothing else that rules. It's money. Forget about the values on the company website. You know, when money's involved, those don't exist. You know, that's how it works. But I was in a privileged position where I started as the lowest staff member, and by the end, I was managing 60 people in what I was doing. And that journey, God put me in that place, and I don't know why I got those promotions. I was the most underqualified. I was the most, literally all my staff, you know, they got degrees and all this. I don't have anything. I was a carpenter for 9 years. That was my degree. But here's me trying to, you know, do all of these corporate things. But I was sent, that was a mission field. Yeah. And the amount of conversations that I got to have with people, you know, they're hurt, broken, everything, you know, you got people that come and are talking to you about all sorts of things, you know, someone coming to tell you about this happened within their life, and they're about to have an abortion, they're about to this. Like, people are telling you all of this stuff, and you're processing, like, massive, like, hurt and pain and all sorts. But God put me there to be a listening ear and to be a voice where I could actually speak into them and a place where I could pray to them. And none of them knew God. You know, they literally, that we had a huge proportion of the team were like Eastern Europe, European, and all I would say, oh, you know, that church stuff, oh, that's the one where the priest drives a fancy car and everyone gives them the money and no one else can eat because they've got no money. Like, that's their view of church, full stop. And you go, okay, hold on, how are they ever going to see God? And I was pretty open. We'd go and play at conferences in a few European places, and so I'd get videos, and I'd walk around and go, oh, yeah, this is what I was doing on the weekend. Purely, and they're like, what, that's church? That's church? Like, that, it blew their mind. But I would use that as a tool. They knew I was a Christian, you know, and one time my boss says, oh, you know, can you sort out these graphs? We want to tell a story, but we need to change these numbers. You know, it's business. We change numbers to make it suit the, you know, finances. And she was like, oh, I won't ask you to do that because I know you won't. And to me, that was the biggest thing, because she knew I was a Christian. She knew that I wasn't going to do that. She was like, you do everything else. I'll go and alter these numbers where we need to. But to me, I'm on mission. I can be a voice of truth in the environment that I am. So all I say, you're on mission every day. Your workplace, the listening ear, the person you walk to, the conversation you hear at the cafe, who you can step and say, hey, could I pray for you? Or, I'm going to be praying for you. Just things like that. We're on mission.
Yeah, now that's awesome. And certainly one thing I've pondered is, often a question we can often ask ourselves is, what is my calling? Or what's my calling? But I think to answer that question, where am I right now? Yeah. And who are the people around me? Right. And that is your calling. Yeah. You know, and to keep it simple, love God, love people, share the gospel. Yeah. You know, and it really is that simple. We're all on mission everywhere we are. So just love that. And just finally, final question for today is, obviously we meet here in the name of Jesus, and it's why we worship, it's why we pray, it's why we do church. Everyone's in different places of their journey, and perhaps there might be some people here today who are still figuring out what they believe or haven't heard much about Jesus. I'm just wondering, what would you say to someone who's in that place that isn't sure if they want to be a follower of Jesus? Or even who Jesus is.
Just do it. Like, that's it. Plain and simple. Do it. Let him be your salvation. Let him be your saviour. It's the best thing you could do. And you will, it doesn't think mean that things are going to be easy. You'll still walk through difficult times. But to have a saviour that you can call on in that, there's nothing better than that. Yeah.
And it makes this world, when we see, you know, God, who is so much, he's great. It's above the things of this world. So when I think about who God is for me, it's like, I want everyone to know that experience, that when you're really struggling, you know, I go back to that job, there are times where you're just crazy stressed, and yes, you retreat, the only place that you can go, you go into the bathroom and you just stand there, and you just be like, okay, Holy Spirit, God, you're with me right now. And just try and refresh. And I feel sorry when people don't have that. You know, that is such a gift. And that's amazing. So I encourage you, you know, that's who God is. And that's what he can do for us. He can just take that, he can take that weight off. It doesn't mean that life is easy. That's the, you know, but it means that God is, he is so much, he is great. Mm-hmm. And who can we go to? You know, you always want someone who you can call on. He's the best friend. He's our Saviour. He's our Lord.
Now that's so great, and thank you so much for sharing today. I've really enjoyed it and learnt a lot, and I'm sure I can say that on behalf of everyone. Why don't we give these guys a round of applause just as they make their way